this deal.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the scripture here. We're in Psalm 69 and verse 10. That's where we left off, so we're going to just pick right back up there. David continues, "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach." So he fasted for the reproach of those that were coming against him. David, we get a little insight into the character of David, that he fasted, that he abstained from food. And fast can be, you can fast from a lot of different things, but most people, when you hear fasting, you think about fasting from food. David fasted. He chastened his soul with fasting. And I think that's something that everyone should practice on a regular basis in their life. You know, just try it. Try fasting one day a month, if you can do that. The first Monday or Tuesday of every month. Or try fasting until noon, if that's difficult for you. Many people would have a hard time just fasting till noon. On days when you don't have physical labor to do. Of course, it's not a good idea if you have to physically labor. I know that myself, because you could faint if you don't have enough energy in the form of food to go on. So you need to take a day off, or take your day off, or take your Sabbath day, and try fasting to noon every Sabbath day. And fasting to Yahuwah, our God, and for whatever reproach or whatever other problems, other people, or other things that you're concerned about in your life. It's good to deny your flesh. It helps you to in your walk of repentance, to deny yourself. And that's the usefulness of fasting. Not only that, fasting can be a very healthy thing to do for cleansing your body, cleansing your system, and giving it a break. That's why it's a good thing to practice fasting. Like, I won't eat after sundown in most instances. And I will not eat until, sometimes till noon, depending if I'm in a labor. Or if I would even sit getting up before this mic, I have to eat something, or I can't talk for 2 hours without running out of energy. And so that's not a good thing. But when you can do it, it's good to practice fasting. It helps you to learn how to deny the flesh. It helps you to learn obedience, because after all, that's what obedience is all about. It's all about, there's a positive side to it, obedience, to do the right thing, but most of us struggle with the things that we used to do, or the things that we would like to do, but we know that we shouldn't do. So to deny ourselves, fasting is one way to learn and to practice denying the flesh. So in our walk of repentance. So David says, when I wept and I chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit at the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Yahuwah, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy hear me, and in the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, Yahuwah. And here he actually, we have the name of the Creator in the original text. Hear me, Yahuwah, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And, you know, I think there is a difference. You know, David, sometimes he says God, sometimes he says Lord. Perhaps the difference is in an intimacy, in a directness, in a feeling of face-to-face, you know, and calling on the name of the Creator. Hear me, Yahuwah, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And you know, that's speaking of diet. In the land of idolatry here, where more people vote for on American Idolatry, or is that what that show program's called? Oh, American Idol. Isn't that short for idolatry? Yes, more people vote on American Idol than vote for the president. There was one guy heard that they should just have the American Idol president and let him get up there and sing or whatever and do. They should vote for presidents the way they vote for American Idol, and let these guys, you know, get 20 of them or whatever out of that they pick out of thousands, and let them get up there and impress us for a whole season on television. And at the end, we all get to vote. How about that? American Idol. Yes, indeed, American Idolatry. But anyway, how did I get off on that? Oh yes, let their table become a snare before them, and that which would have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And I was thinking about diet, the whole diet thing. How I got off on American Idolatry, I don't know. But yeah, American Idolatry. We have supermarkets full of food. And you know what? If we don't pay attention to God's law, and we don't have some common sense, and we don't say, I'm going to, you know, God made me. God made food for me. You know, I can put that together in my brain and figure out what I can eat and what I can't eat. And then you add, God made me. God made the food for me. And he gave me his law and said some things you shouldn't eat. And so if putting all that together, I think that I can figure out what is good for me and what is not good for me. And I can learn how to supplement too, because I can realize that a lot of the food that out there is deficient. So we need to use a wisdom when we put food in our mouth. But here, you know, David praying for his enemies, I would say praying for his enemies, let their table become a snare before them. You know, that's what we have here in America. And that's why all of the heathen have to run down to their allopathic witch doctors. They're the witch doctors or the high priests of pharmakia, using common sense, realizing that our Heavenly Father, our Creator, created us. He created food for us. And if we can put those two thoughts together, perhaps we can use a little common sense in governing our diet. And then you add to that his dietary law, and you should do well. That's right, you should do well. David's praying for his enemy. He says, let their table become a snare before them. You know, and all the enemies of God, it is absolutely true that their table has become a snare for them because they aren't obedient, and common sense is hidden from them. So they go on and pollute their bodies and suffer because of their disobedience and their ignorance. Now, let's not be among that crowd. Let's wake up. Let's open our eyes. Let's realize that our Creator created us. He created good food for us, and He gave us His law and told us what we should not eat. And with that, we could do very well. And with a little more sense, by supplementing with good supplements, we could do even better. So, just I think words of wisdom there, but an understanding of what David is saying here. Let their table become a snare before them. So those that continue in their wickedness and their idolatry, yes, their table is a snare to them. And they have to run to their priests, their high priests of pharmakia and allopathic witch doctors to relieve their pain. And of course, they do it all for gain. They give you one drug, which means that you'll be back for 10 more because of the complications. And, you know, if you can't hear, I mean, those commercials, you hear them on the TV, and you see them for these this pharmakia all the time, that you have to get a prescription. You can't just go to the store and buy this stuff because it's so dangerous. And then they whisper real quickly at the end of the commercial or during it. They pop it in there so you won't pay attention to it. But listen to what these people are saying about these drugs and all of the bad side effects. You know, you get 10 bad side effects, and you're going to fix what? You're going to fix one symptom? No, it's foolishness. It's nonsense. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. You know, a lot of people would think, oh, how unkind of David. I wonder. A man after God's own heart? David continues, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please Yahuwah better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For Yahuwah heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Yes, the world may despise you who are a prisoner for him, but he does not. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, For they that love his name shall dwell therein. And I love his name. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but I'm doing the best I can. I love the name, and I will dwell therein. Psalm 70. To the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backwards and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. You know, as I read this, I think about all of the people from Tony Alamo and his church and all the people that are in prison for that, and all of the children that have been stolen and imprisoned, and they're trying to indoctrinate them into pagan idolatry. And this would be a good psalm to pray for those people, for those, if I was sitting in that cell for righteousness' sake, and let me never be in a cell for any other reason than righteousness' sake, well, let me turn to Psalm 70. Let them be ashamed and be confounded. And they will be. They could keep me in prison for the rest of my life, but I know that forever is a long time. And this life is very short. If I live another 50, 60 years, it'll still be too short because it goes by so quickly. And they will suffer forever. Unless they repent. You know, I hope they all repent, but I know they won't. You know, I've faced that reality. That's the reality that I've had to face, that most people will not repent, that most people have been fashioned for destruction, and they wouldn't have it any other way. That's right. And then there's a whole class of people that fool themselves into thinking that God is going to let them into heaven because they're good people. And of course, they're better than people like, you know, and then they'll think of murderers and thieves and the most wicked people they can think of. And they'll think, I'm better than that. But they're depending on their own righteousness, not the blood of the Lamb. Because it is only by trusting in Him, by faith in Him, that His righteousness can be imputed to us. Because none of us are good enough. And even if we were good enough, even if suddenly we could stop sinning, or even if we were born and never sinned our whole life. And you know, there could have been people like that, you know. There could have been people like that. Perhaps, what's his name? The guy that was taken up, I'm trying to think of his name, I can't think of it. But God took him. Enoch, that's the guy I'm thinking of. That Enoch walked with God, and God took Enoch. He just took him. Enoch didn't die, he just took him. But even Enoch had the blood of the Lamb applied to him. Because even if we were born and never sinned our whole life, we still have a sin debt that we were born with because of the corrupt seed from which we were born, that seed of Adam, from which we were all born. Because in that day, and it was pronounced, you shall surely die, they ate of the fruit, they received that death sentence. And every one of us was born with that death sentence. If anyone can say, I shall not surely die, then they are a fool. Anyone who thinks their mortal existence is going to go on forever is a fool. I don't know anybody who thinks that they're not going to die. Even the most wicked atheists out there who go on saying there is no God and ignore Him all their lives, none of them. They all think they're just going to die and turn into dirt. And that's their hope. And oh, you know, if only they were right, then they would be most happy of all men, I guess, because they could continue in their sin and their wickedness and idolatry and just be rewarded by turning into dirt. And that would be a reward compared with what is really going to happen to them. It's not going to be dirt. It's going to be something far worse. They're going to be left. Everything good, even that which they have, shall be taken away from them. Everything good in their life will be gone because it's all a gift from God. and they would not praise God for it, nor give him credit for the good in their life, but they say, I am a good man, and certainly God is not going to let me go to hell. Their own righteousness, the goodness, any good thing in their life, the good thing that they might have done, the good feelings, all a gift from God, and they would not give him the glory for it. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backwards and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. And they're out there. We hear them all the time. They're going, aha, aha. You know, first they brought the accusation against the minister of God and said that he was producing pornography, child pornography. Internet pornography, and they raided his compound, and they looked high and low, and behold, the minister was blind. He couldn't see pornography, let alone produce any of it, and they found nothing. And they said, oh, well, we gotta trump up something else. And they said, aha, aha, here we find some false witnesses to witness against him. And they pressured as many people as they could. They found, I guess, five false witnesses to prosecute him on some the Mann Act, some law that they made to prosecute people on that are involved in prostitution, interstate prostitution. Yes, certainly. So they brought him and put him in jail for that. Yes, you know, there's something rotten when they can't back up one charge and they invent another one against you. Something not quite right about that. Well, we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.
You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. How many know there's rest in the presence of God tonight? That's right. Let's come to him.
I will come to you. You have the words of life. I will come to you. You are the
Lord of all. Thank you, Lord God.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, I'm back, even though I've gone nowhere. So, continuing here in Psalm 70, short and sweet, and really a psalm of lamentation, perhaps, against those that persecute the righteous. let God be magnified. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, or Yahuwah, he calls by name. Yahuwah, make no tarrying. Don't tarry. And it's come to me now. And let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. I love his salvation, and I think anyone who would be listening to this program, they would have to have those same feelings, to love his salvation and say continually, let God be magnified. And that's another reason for this program, Cross the Border. That's another reason that I'm going through the scripture day by day, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, is to magnify our Creator. Let God be magnified. Let's continue here in Psalm 71. In thee, Yahuwah, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandments to save me. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. And yes, I've seen plenty of this cruelty. I've watched some of the videos where these wicked workers for the state, for out of motivation for their career enhancement and monetary motivation, rip the children of families away from their mothers, babies out of mothers' arms. And I just think, oh, it just makes me so angry to see this. I tell you, what it makes me feel like doing, it's a good thing I'm not there. And I'm sure if I was there, that the Holy Spirit would stay me from what I feel like doing. I feel like I would just pull out a rifle and blow all their heads off. That's how I feel. But if I was in the situation, the Holy Spirit would have control. But I have those feelings, that just feelings of total hatred for these people because of the cruelty that they're inflicting upon these children and these families. And can't they see it? Can't these people see what they are? Are they that blind that they think they're doing good? No, they're deluded. They want to think that they're doing good, to justify. And it's only because of their own idolatry and their own wickedness that they can't see right, that they can't see what they're doing is wrong. They are blinded. So deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. And here I'm going to go back with this verse, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Let me keep my wits about me. Let me not become senile. Let me not get Alzheimer's. And how will that not happen? Well, by using the wisdom of living according to God's law. That's right. We got a program here on the network called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. And came up with that program because on average, doctors die at the age of 56. Yeah, that's right. And that speaks volumes. And 56, that's fairly young, you know, being a young man myself. By all rights, yes. If I live a few more years, then I have outlived, most doctors. On average, doctors die at 56 years of age. So why would I want to do what they're doing? Don't they follow their own advice? Aren't they into pharmakia and all the things that they propose for their patients? Yes. So dead doctors don't lie. And that's what the name of the program means. And Dr. Wallach, who is a living doctor, and came up with the concept and the name of the program, he says that Alzheimer's is caused by a deficiency, a dietary or nutritional deficiency. And it came about with the no-fat, low-fat diet fad, where people started replacing natural fats that are found in foods like butter and other things with low-fat or no-fat substitutes, vegetable oils, hydrolyzed vegetable oils, and things like that. And it's for lack of essential fatty acids that people get Alzheimer's. And I believe that. I believe there's enough evidence to support that. I believe that. I accept that. So I'm pretty sure that I won't get Alzheimer's. And here it goes back to what I was saying before, is that, yes, I use real butter. I would never use margarine. And when I buy peanut butter, I make sure it's 100% peanuts, that it's not half peanuts and half lard, I mean shortening with sugar, to make up for the lack of taste. Because, you know, shortening doesn't taste very good. So they put sugar in it, and then they mix it all up, and they call it, you know, Skippy peanut butter, or whatever the brands are that they use that in. Now, buy the 100%, you know, peanuts and salt, that's all, if you're going to buy peanut butter. So you got to look for it, and you don't want to buy foods. You want to stay away from all of the salad dressings, because they're all loaded with it. And you got to start reading your labels to make sure you're not poisoning yourself with the stuff that you buy, you know, self-poisoning. But don't worry about it. You can go to your doctor, who might live to be beyond 56 if he's lucky. He's got a drug for you. Yes, he can give you a statin drug that will lower your cholesterol. Oh, man. There you go. How about that? Do listen to dead doctors. Don't lie. Even if you can't buy the products or whatever, there's a lot of good information there. And sometimes you can buy the supplements, essential fatty acids at Costco, you know, buy the big bottle for relatively inexpensive. So everyone should be supplementing, you know, with some of these like essential fatty acids and a few other supplements that everyone should be taking. So that they make sure that they are not going to suffer from these nutritional deficiency diseases like Alzheimer's and many others out there. You want to make sure you use that common sense. Eat the foods that God made. God did not make margarine, but he did make butter. Butter is quite naturally occurs. You know, it occurs naturally. You know, I have raw milk here, and we drink raw milk now. And butter. Sometimes I find butter in the jar of the raw milk around the rim where it collects. And yeah, it's natural butter. It's a natural thing. But I'm still looking for that shortening to appear naturally. It just does not. It has to have help from man. There is no such thing as hydrolyzed vegetable oil occurring naturally in nature. It's a deadly thing. It's something that you do not want to eat. And anyway, so I've said enough about that. Deliver me out of the hand of the wicked, out of the... Okay, where did I leave off? Took me out of my... Enemies speak against me. Oh yes, I was talking about old age. Cast me not off. Psalm 71, verse 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age. I don't want to lose my mind. And I don't want to become broken down and crippled because of the things, because I have ignored God's law and I have ignored common sense. If I'm going to be crippled, well, let it be because I have an injury. Let it be because I've been persecuted. Let it be because I fought for righteousness, but not for my own ignorance and stupidity and ignoring the law of God. Cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. And yes, it's true. You know, I would like to be strong and vibrant till the day I die, but I can see right now, you know, that it's not going to be as it was when I was 20 years old or a teenager. I can see I need to slow down. I can't do things. I need to get help and make sure that I don't hurt my back and things like that. You have to use a little wisdom so we don't destroy our own bodies. But forsake me not when my strength faileth. David, speaking of the age that creeps up on us all. For mine enemies speak against me, and that they that lay in wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Yes, and I pray that for all of those that are persecuting the righteous men of God in whatever land that they're in, that are especially those that are older and can't defend themselves. Of course, it's a little different now than it was in David's time. David, of course, if his age was getting on him where he can't wield the sword in battle and so forth, but you know, now we have to go up against armies, policy enforcers with Humvees and rocket launched missiles, you know, grenade launchers and whatever, you know, and all kinds of technology and jackbooted thugs with, you know, masks on and tanks and all these things. They bring an army against one man. They bring an army against children and high-powered rifles. They point them at little girls. Yes, they're so brave, aren't they? They are so brave. He said, I will let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And there we have it. Thy righteousness, thine only, Yahuwah. He calls him by name. It's his righteousness, not ours. It's his righteousness that is imputed to us by faith that saves us. And then we learn righteousness. We learn obedience to our Heavenly Father. That we have that true desire to live a life that is pleasing to him. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Verse 17, Psalm 71. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Well, I don't exactly qualify as gray-headed yet, and I don't know how old David was when he wrote this, but we get a clue here. He says, now also, so he says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, and David had been through all the trials of and the failures of his life, and he writes this in his old age. He says, now when I am old and gray-headed. So someday, you know, perhaps I will be gray-headed if I live long enough. And I look around me and I see many people my age are completely gray even today. A lot of that perhaps is genetic. Some of it may be diet-related. Who knows? Who can say? It doesn't matter. What really matters is we live a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And we repent of all the evil that we have done and all of the failures that we continue to fall into, that we keep getting back up, keep reaching for the Father's hand, keep saying, write your law upon my heart. Let me never tire of hearing your reproof. Let me never say it's enough or I'm not going to do that. Let me always strive to please you, Heavenly Father. So forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know, that's I feel that prayer all the time. I pray something like that. You know, if I can stick around another 50, 60 years, that would be great. Let me spend every minute pressing his kingdom, every minute proclaiming the glory of his name, every minute teaching righteousness, every minute proposing that people enter his kingdom and obtain that eternal life, to live a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Let me do that for the rest of my life. And then when I can do that no more, then let me retire to the grave and let me go on to his reward. Let me move on. Let me go to the resurrection and to the fathers of faith, to those that went on before me. And we will all, you know, rejoice. We'll be in his kingdom. You know, the promises of our Heavenly Father, they're clear in the Scripture. They're clear enough that I understand that when that trumpet sounds, that we will be with him, that he's going to come and he's going to strike that image in the feet of iron and clay. And it's all that image is going to blow away. And his kingdom is going to fill the whole earth. And for 1,000 years we will be kings and priests. And we will rule and reign on this earth. That's why I'm so eager and so anxious and so excited about learning his law and learning his ways and studying his word. Because we're going to use this for 1,000 years. I want to be fully equipped as I can be. And not only in the knowledge, but in the practice of it as much as I can. And I know there's a lot of it I can't practice fully. I can understand the Sabbath. I can understand his calendar. But I still have to work. I'm in the world and not of it. I still have to keep 2 calendars. I will never be able to fully, but I will be ready. I will have understanding. And perhaps I will teach many in the kingdom to come, in the resurrection during that 1,000-year reign. And then after that, the promise is that we get a new heaven and a new earth after he tidies up some unfinished business, and that is the judgment, the resurrection of the damned, those who will give account for themselves and be judged for their works because they did not trust in the Messiah. That business will be finished up. And then we get a new heaven and a new earth. And that'll be even more glorious than the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And so glorious that I can know about it and I can feel it. He's revealed it to me. But there's no way that I can express it beyond the words that I'm expressing it with now. But you know what? He will show it to you. Just as he's shown it to me. You know, a lot of these, I get daily emails from these atheists, skeptics, unbelievers, cursing me. And you know, chiding me and reproaching me for my faith and saying that I'm an idiot or a fool or with many far worse words than I would ever use on the air for believing and having faith. But you know what? They haven't seen what I've seen. They don't know who I know. And they will never see or never know because they've blinded themselves. They have decided. And you know what? Really, the only reason that they really want to chide me and make and reproach me and curse me for my belief is because they want to continue in their idolatry and their sin and their wickedness. That's the only reason that has blinded them, because they love the creation more than they love the Creator. As a matter of fact, they hate the Creator, and they just want to continue in their sins. They don't want to put them blinders on. They don't want to see their mortality. They don't want to see that the most important event of their life is coming up, and they're not preparing themselves for it. So they blind themselves, and they believe that they're just going to be dirt because it's a convenient lie. Yes, but I have an inconvenient truth for them. What an abomination, that Al Gore movie, An Inconvenient Truth. It was a convenient lie, wasn't it? It's exactly opposite of what it was. Yes, the inconvenient truth is that they're going to give an account that they shall surely die. That's the inconvenient truth for those that want to practice sin and unrighteousness and continue in their wickedness. Yes, the inconvenient truth is they shall surely die, and they won't just turn into dirt and be recycled in the universe as they hope, but they will pay for their wickedness. And it will not be pleasant, and it will not be pleasant forever. The psalmist continues here, "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things, O God, who is like thee. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth." Hallelujah. What we're just talking about. "Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." Yes, David, he looked forward to the same things that I'm looking forward to. "I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel." We're going to have to pick up here next time on Cross the Border. And I'm going to leave you with this from Jars of Clay. I was talking about this song earlier, Flood. Hallelujah.
Rain, rain on my face. Hasn't stopped raining for days. My world is a flood. Slowly I become one with the mud. But if I can't swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that feel so high that I cannot fall, let me alone. Lift me up when I'm falling. Lift me up when we can die. Touching the ground. Butterfly.